The following shiur has been presented by Rav David Grossman, Rosh Beis Havad Binyani Mishpat, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. This volume has been graciously dedicated by Reb Shimshon and Reb Yehuda Beanstock and families in honor of their parents, Max and Gail Beanstock of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. May the merit of the Torah studied through this volume bring them and their families continued gesund, Nachas and Parnasa Berevach, Admeya Ve'esrim Shana.
Meseches Ksuvis Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara Daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph brings down the Gemara that the Gemara has really been discussing for the past couple of Dafim. The Sugya of Kansa Becheskas Besula Ve'nimtaas Be'ula. We discussed the Sugya of Pesach Besuach Matzosi, where after the marriage, the Chosen realizes that the Isha is a Be'ulas Baal, and I'd like to discuss today how this really relates Bizmanenu, and what's the Halacha when this occurs. Unfortunately, there are many stories that after the marriage, the husband realizes that the Kala is a Be'ulas Baal, sometimes Ba'ines it happened, sometimes it was Beratzoin. Many times the Kala is a Baalas Tshuva, where it would be there might be an Umdin or there might be a Chazaka that she is a Ba'ula and he hadn't known about it. And there are many Tshuvas throughout the ages discussing the concept of Mekach Tois by an Isha. When a certain Tois in the misrepresentation and the understanding between Chasam and Kala would invalidate a marriage and when it would not invalidate the marriage. So we have before us the past Yudafim, the concept of Kansa Becheskas Besula V'nimtzas Be'ula. We discussed sometimes it's Hikirba, if it's not Hikirba. There is the concept of how much of a Ksuva does this woman receive? Is it Mona Masayim? And there's also the concept of is the marriage valid or not? Does it invalidate the marriage? The fact that there was a misrepresentation. We know when a person purchases a mekach, if there's a mekach tois, there's a misrepresentation of the facts, a person could claim mekach tois and invalidate the sale, return the product to the seller, and receive the money in return. Does the same apply, halacha lemaisa, where certain facts were hidden from the chassan, and they were found later, they were found out to be a tois, will the marriage be invalidated? Will the chassan have to make another kedushin if he'd like to stay married, etc.? So we're going to discuss what halacha is manenu. We'll discuss if the chassan or kala, if the spouse has an obligation to disclose some of the mumim, a defect that the person has. What a kala should write in the ksuva in the event that she is indeed, she is nimtzas to be a ba'ula, and what happens in the reverse, where there's a tois in the baal, the husband, there was a representation that the husband had certain qualities, or he didn't have certain mumim, and after the marriage it was found that this chassan has specific mumim that might invalidate the marriage. What is there any difference between if the mum is in the isha or the mum is in the ish? And we'll try to give a comprehensive, short overview of the halachis. The Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer Siman Samaches Sif Tes brings down the halacha, the Gemara that we were discussing, this halacha of Ta'inas Besulim, where the husband comes to Bezdin and says, Loi Matzosi Besulim, and the Ramah in Siftas tells us, Kol Misha Toyin Tanas Besulim, any husband that Tainas comes to Bezdin and claims the Tainas Besulim of Loi Matzosi Besulim, Ta'anosai Taina, that their claim is a claim, Imroitza Lekaimo Achakach Kaisav Loksuba Mona, if he would like to stay married to her, he would rewrite the ksuva, and the ksuva would then say mona instead of the masayim that it was written originally, because it was loy matzot psulim and she's nimtzes ba'ula, so her her ksuba would be a mona. So the Rama seems to be saying that if the chassan, the husband, would want to stay married, he would be able to do so. And you wouldn't need to make another kedushin, we wouldn't need to make another marriage, they would be already married, you know, based on the original Maisa Kedushin. He says, Emroitza l'kaimo, achakach koisav l'ksuva mona, all you have to do is write a ksuva. The Beis Shmuel, in Sifkaton, Chav Dalad, in Simen Samaches, Sifkaton Chav Dalad, brings the sheet of Toisvus that, and I'll quote the words of the Beis Shmuel, V'oid mitoisvus dehecha, mashma oid mitoisvus, it seems from the words of Toisvus, dehecha dehave mekach tois, where there is indeed a mekach tois, tzorech lekatcha mechadosh, you must make a new kedushin, v'lasis nesuim, because there's the concept of ein adam oisik besuda mafsido, a person does not, based on the fact that a person does not make a suda and then be mafsid it many times, a person would want the kedushin to uphold. And Tosfos says that we see from these gemaras that since we're talking about ruining a suda and making a new suda, so we see we need to make a new kedushin whenever there's a mekach tois. However, from the Ramo we mentioned that he seems to be paskening that a person does not have to make a new Maisa Kedushin. And why is that? Like we mentioned earlier, there's a concept of Mekach Tois, so why would by Isha would it not be true? Why by Isha, if a person marries the Isha Batois, that there was misrepresentations represented to the husband before the marriage? So the Ramah seems to be saying that a new Kedushin does not need to be made, and the answer is, the place can explain that since a person, at least in the times of the Gemara, a person was able to divorce their wife Baal Korcho without, against her will, so when a person finds a woman, the Isha, so if he's not happy if he's not happy, he doesn't want to stay married, he has the right to be Megarish her. So a person would not want to invalidate a marriage based on a mum, based on a defect in the isha, because he can simply validate the marriage and give a get and divorce the wife, and therefore a person ain adam oisa beilosay beilaznos, but ain adam oisik besuda mafsida. A person doesn't want to invalidate retroactively a suda, whereas by a mekach, the person would want to invalidate the mekach. If there was a defect in the mekach, it would be his first choice to invalidate it, and therefore. There we have a tain of mekach tois. Simply, a person could undo the sale. However, by a husband, the umdana is that if he married her and he found the mum later, instead of being mevatel the mekach and retroactively never being married to her, he would rather keep the kedushin going and be mevatel and give a get and divorce the wife from here on in. Now, since this is true, and we see the Tosfos says by Mekach Tois, one could explain that there are two types of Mekach Tois by an Isha. Similarly, we find the same concept in the Gemara in Bava Basra. There's a Mishnah that discusses Arba Midos. There's different levels of Mekach Tois when it comes to Mekach Tois invalidating a sale. There's something called the Yofes V'Nimtzos Rois. When a person sells a product, That's under the assumption that he's going to be giving a good whole product, nice fruits. And in Tzaris Rois, the person opens the box of fruit and they're grade B. So that is considered a mum. That's a defect in the mekach, and the buyer has the right to go back to the seller and say, I want my money back, take back these fruits. I purchased fruits assuming that they were grade A and they turn out to be grade B. However, the Gemara over there, the Mishnah over there, also has another case, which is Yayin v'Nitzuch Chometz. If a person buys barrels of wine and he opens them up and it turns out that they're chometz, they're vinegar, there both the buyer and the seller could invalidate the sale. And the explanation, which is given by the Poskim, is that there's two levels of mekach tois. When you're buying the actual product, you're buying the fruits, apples, and they turn out to be not such great apples, so the mekach is chal. there is a mekach which is valid, but a person has a claim that I'm not happy with the product, and therefore I could go ahead and force you to invalidate that sale retroactively. However, if I at the end of the day I don't mind so much, and I say, you know what, forget about it, the mekach is valid because the purchase was done. Was done on apples, and there were apples that were found. The apples were of lesser quality, but that doesn't automatically invalidate that there was never a sale. However, if a person bought apples, and the seller delivered oranges, that's a totally different product, and therefore both the meicher and the seller, the buyer and the seller, can both undo the mekach, because the sale was not consummated. The sale was not. Actualized on the actual fruit which we discussed, and therefore the same concept we find by an isha. There's an isha that has a mum, and then there's an isha that's nimtzes eilenes, a woman that doesn't have the ability to have children, doesn't have the biological makeup to have children. That woman is could be considered a totally different type of woman, and therefore when a person marries a woman and she's nimtzes eilenes, that could be a different level of mekach tois, which would be automatically invalid from the onset, and there we would say that it has nothing to do with how if the husband is interested in upholding the marriage or not interested. If you marry a woman and she turns out to be a totally different woman, there the marriage is null and void in its inception. In reality, it's null and void because it's not the we don't look at it that there was a marriage done and on a woman that has a defect that a person could decide whether he's happy or not unhappy. When the woman is an islandist, that could be a totally different level, and there, according to everybody, it's very possible that you would have to make a kedusha mechadash. The person would if he would want to stay married to this woman, he would have to marry her all over again, because it's not up to him to validate or invalidate the sale. This marriage never happened. The marriage was he had it in mind to marry a woman, and it turns out that this woman is not a regular woman. This woman is a totally different type of woman, and therefore, the marriage very possibly is null and void in its onset. Now, the Poskim do tell us that there are other reasons why Bizmanenu, that if a person marries a basula and it turns out that she had been with a man, whether ba'ines or baratzain, whether she sometimes the girl went off the derech and was, or she's a ba'alas tshuva, or something happened against her will. But in any case, it's very likely that would not create a mekach tois at all. And we find something even more extreme in the tshuva of the Maharsham in Siman Kuf Nun Beis. Maharsham, I'll read you the words of the Maharsham. It's a fascinating chiddush that he says, but he says as follows: Michtovoi Higiani, I received the correspondence, Valdvar She'elosoi, and with regard to his Shaila Bipsuli Yisoyma, Sheze'eze Shonim, Hursa V'yolda, this Bipsula became pregnant, Liznunim, through Znus, Umeoz V'arata, and ever since that story, Misnaheges b'tznius, she conducts herself with tznius, and she finally she became engaged. Ukeis nishtadcha mirochik, she got engaged to a husband far away. Beloy hoyde mizeh, the husband never knew about this whole concept that she was a ba'ula, not only a ba'ula, but rather she had a child. She has a child. V'im yivada la chosin, if it will be known to the chosin, Yevatel Kesher, he will break the shidduch. And the question is, now we're up to the stage of Nesu'in, says the Maharsham, and she wants to know what to write in the Ksuva. So there's multiple levels of question over here. First of all, from the words of the Maharsham and from the Hemshech of the Maharsham, he seems to be saying clearly that even if the Chassan doesn't know that she is a Ba'ula, and she, not only that, he doesn't know that she is the mother of a child, still, that does not automatically invalidate, and if he will never find out about it, that's going to be fine. And that could be based on a Tosfos. The Tosfos The Tosfos towards the end of the Yevamos talks about a Yavam Cheresh that falls to Yibum, and he's talking about a Mekach Tosfos where he didn't even know that he was a Cheresh at all, and the Gemara wants to invalidate the marriage based on the possibility that there's Simfon, which is Mumin, and the Re says, we did not, we're not worried about Simfon, about the possibility that there's a Mum, El Kishiyochal Adovelis Galois. Only if there's a possibility that this matter will come to light and people will know about it, Viyu Kedushay Tois, then it will be a Kedushay Tois. But if it's possible, Abahocha then Scharish, Lechashinan Shami is Pakach Vim to Simfon. In a case where it's in all likelihood, the husband will never find out about the mum. If the husband never finds out about the mum, that mum would not constitute a mekach tois. And it's very possible that if somebody marries a woman, assuming that she's a besula and it's nimtzas beula, it's very possible that the husband will never ever know about it, will never find out about it, and therefore it's possible that to uphold the kedusha. So the Maharsham is going under the assumption that there's no problem to go ahead and marry. We'll see other places can disagree, but the Maharsham says there's no problem to go ahead and marry this woman as a ba'ula. If he doesn't know about it, then his discussion here is what to write in the ksuba. Are you allowed to lie? So he says, certainly if you could just write, instead of writing besultada or besulta, to write to the specific woman without explaining if she's a be'ula or a besula. And he discusses the fact that if the chassan's going to, there's a very big possibility that if the chassan's going to obligate himself to Masayim, the ksuba could be validated to 200, because really she's only entitled to 100. And we'll see that, as far as disclosure, it seems that that the Maharsham is permitting her not to disclose at all, and he goes through the Sefer Chassidim, that the Sefer Chassidim says that although the halacha is mutar l'shanis mipnei asholim, but that's only if it's something on the avar, if you're lying about something that happened. But on the asid, there even says the Sefer Chassidim, if it's something about the future, then you would not be mutar l'shanis mipnei asholim. Maharsham argues on this point, and he says that it's if you can get that, it's not the biggest problem, which we'll see. But the Eliashib and Sefer Kovis Chuvas, he does discuss the fact that if you're going to lie on the ksuba and you're not going to, and the chassan's going to obligate himself in something that really he doesn't have to, that could tak and validate the ksuba. And even though if the marriage is invalid, we said Maharsham is assuming that the marriage is not invalid. But if the ksuva is invalid, that creates an iser, because if you don't have a ksuva, a valid ksuva, it's also laudim b'lo ksuva, as we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, a person is not allowed to live with his wife if there's no valid ksuva, and if the wrong thing is written in the ksuva and it's not valid, that would be an iser. So, the Paiskim also say that obviously also l'rameis b'nei adam, it's prohibited to trick other people. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Mechiras, Perek Yud Ches, Halacha Yud, that even, that's also the Rambam, so a person's not allowed to trick, even in a case where he'll never find out about it. So the Isser does blib. Interestingly enough, the Igros Moshe in Orachaim Chelek Dalet, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, there was a woman that approached, that wrote to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zuchon Lebrach, and Simon Kuf Yud Ches. He has a tshuva which is entitled Tshuva L'Pnuya Shezinsa, a whole tshuva to a woman who was never married before, but she was Mezana Beratzoin. Unfortunately, she was with somebody, and he discusses multiple levels of what she should do, how she should do tshuva, what type of vidu she should say, and then in the middle of the tshuva, he opens up to how she should go about shiduchim. And he writes as follows: Ubedvar imtzricha at lahagid lahabocher. If you're dating somebody and if you want to know if you have to disclose the fact that you were mizana earlier in life, similar to the Maharsham's case, but this woman did not have any children, vaday atzricha lagalisla. You must tell the chassan, but you should just know, says Rav Moshe, ein chatzicha lahagid lo biraya v'hachro b'pam rishona. You don't have to tell the shadchan before you start going out about the story. You're allowed to develop a relationship with the person, and once he is endeared to you and he wants to pursue this, then you can break it to him slowly. You don't even have to tell him specifically that there was a certain story, says Rav Moshe. I'll read his lashon because it's very sensitive, very dachistic. A person has to be medayik and obviously ask the proper shilas if such a situation does present itself. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, originally, right away, it's also to tell him because you're not giving yourself the chance to have a relationship with this person. However, when he decides that he really wants to marry you, you're talking about marriage, then there was a story, something happened to me, and I was out of my proper mindset, and before I knew it, I wasn't properly thinking. I wasn't able to stand up to the person that was pursuing me. And right away, right after, it was a terrible story. I had total charot, and I was terribly disturbed about it. And you should play it down as much as possible, and be vague. But the bottom line is, you cannot move forward without disclosing at some level that this happened to you. And then he discusses the ksivas haksuva. So the chasson you have to inform, says Rav Moshe. But bedvar ksivas haksuva ain't tzarich lahagid l'mesad hakedushin. You don't have to tell us mesad hakedushin, because once the chasson signs the ksuba, he's agrees to the ksuba, agrees to give you masayim, even though you're only entitled to mona, and because of tznias, he doesn't want this story to get out, so he's mischayv himself to a psulas mona. You don't have to tell him inside the kedushin. And ukeshenisas laboil atzmi yosef nochein. And Ramesha tells us that since the husband is happy to give them a sayim, lenin sacha momen machasan yoideya veroitz b'ksubas besula, yechon lichtav ksubas besula, you can write a regular ksubas besula, and therefore you shouldn't tell anybody, and it should be a private thing between you and your husband, and that's the way you should be noyheg. The Tshuvas van Hogeis, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, tells us that in today's day, when it comes to a ba'ula being a mekach tois, it's not necessarily so clear, since most people have no problem marrying a Baalas Tshuva, and most Baalas Tshuva, if they became Baalas Tshuva later on in life, are b'chezkas be'ula, and therefore it's not, in today's day especially, it's not so terrible, and it would not necessarily invalidate the marriage as a mekach tois. Now let's talk for another minute b'negia the other way around. What happens if there's a mu'in, the ish, in the husband? So on the one hand, the husband has a leniency when it comes to mekach tois, and that leniency is that we know the klal of Rish Lakish all over Shas, tav lemeis of tandum lemeis of armalu, that most women would rather be married to anybody, even a mukashchin, the Gemara tells us many times, that as long as a woman is married, she's happy, and therefore there would be a makom to say that whatever would invalidate the marriage of a husband who finds his wife to be a ba'ula or have some mum gora, like the mum discussed in the Masechta, we'll discuss it later on in the later prokim. However, when it comes to a man, a woman might be more amenable and what would be meichel any mum that a husband might have. However, on the flip side, there's also a svara to say that when a wife finds her husband to have a mum, she might want to invalidate the marriage more than when a husband finds a mum in his wife. And the reason for that is based on the svara that we discussed earlier. We discussed earlier a svara that why would a man, there's a chazaka, ein adam oisa bi'ilasa bi'ilas nos, ein adam tarech besuda mafsida, person doesn't go through all the steps of getting married just to invalidate it retroactively, and if he has any type of problem, all he has to do is write a get and divorce his wife. That bamed var mamurim, when is that good? Only when the husband finds a woman in the isha. However, If the Isha finds a mum in the Ish, there the woman does not have the power to just divorce. The only way for him to get out of the her to get out of the marriage would be to invalidate the marriage based on a mum. And this comes up many times through in Shuvas Benigea, trying to find a heter for an aguna. Many times a woman will find herself in a marriage, the husband ran away, and she's stuck, and she's tied to him, and she cannot get remarried. And the Shaila in those cases are, can she, if she has some type of mum that she can rely on, can she invalidate the marriage retroactively to make her not married to the husband, and thereby invalidate her marriage? So the Tashbats discusses this. A very interesting case. Ruvain hita isha achas shehoitzi koil al atzmoi. Ruvain put out the word that this person that he is a tremendous usher, and he drove a very fancy car and wore fancy clothing and very expensive lifestyle, but in essence it was all credit cards, and he was an ani merude. He didn't have a penny to his name. And after shenaskachaloi omdas mat meruba becheskas mekudeshes, they got into a fight, nichnasa meriva beinayim, because he tricked her, and Reuven ran away and left her as an aguna. And the question came to the Tashbetz, can he invalidate it based on the fact that he represented himself as a very successful business person, a very successful husband, and it turns out that he wasn't anything of the sort. So the Tashbetz tells us that since it wasn't inherent in the actual marriage that he's a rich man, so that would not invalidate the marriage. But the Poiskim, the In Yitzchok and Chelek Aleph, Simulama Dalet, and others, the Yitzchok Poiskim brings it down in Simulama Tes, all discuss this fact that since that by Isha, on the one hand, you can say Bechol Dehu Nichalei, and any Isha would be very happy to be married, like Rabbi Yish Lakish says, we discussed earlier, Tavla Meis of Tandum El Meis of Armalu. But the Igris Moshe discusses in Eben Ezra Chelek Aleph Simenai and Tes, he discusses a man she'ein la gvuras anoshim, that they got married, and after the marriage it was found out medically that this husband cannot have children. This husband is ein la gvuras anoshim, and it's not possible to reverse that. It's not possible to heal this according to medical studies. And the husband did not want to. The husband ran away and left his wife as an aguna. So the question came to Moshe Feinstein: can she just get remarried based on the fact that this was a clear mekach tois? It's assumed 100% that every woman wants to marry dafka, a man that can have children. And says the Moshe Feinstein that he seems to be mater. Obviously, it's a very, very big psak, and this has to be, it has to be analyzed in each and every individual case. But there, Moshe Feinstein says, yes, this would be considered a mekach tois. And he says that even though by women we find, like we mentioned earlier, that a person would rather stay married, but there's a chazakah. Here, we don't say, we don't say that he wants to stay married in order to make sure that all the be'ilois that had happened until now were not be'ilois nos, and therefore, by Aisha, she would be able to leave and not be an aguna without a get. A fascinating tshuva, a fascinating topic, and obviously a very sensitive topic. This must be, whenever this case comes, b'negei shaduchim, and otherwise, a person must concur with very high-level halachic authority to make sure that they're doing everything correctly and not to get into such very temperamental and serious questions of Eishes Ish and Mekach Tois and Agunois. These are things way beyond the purview of many laymen, and therefore this should definitely be discussed and analyzed with the person's Moira Hayro.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.